set.
Okay.
AC.
Well, this is Fractions, Seeing is Believing. Thank you, everyone, for coming. If you want to have the slides for your own personal use, you can scan the QR code on the screen. For anybody that's listening, you can find it at rightstartmath.com/fractions-fantastic/. And we'll have the QR code again at the end if you want to get that later. All right. So, fractions. Fractions are often viewed as challenging, and the rules can seem chaotic and confusing, and fractions often cause apprehension among students and even adults. I mean, if you look at this comic, we have, it says, now, say we cut an apple in half. We have two halves now, don't we? That's fractions! You're trying to teach me fractions! I'll never understand fractions! I mean, do we think fractions are going to kill us? But it's a huge misunderstanding, because fractions are really a necessary and useful part of our lives. Think about where we use fractions. We use fractions in time. We use fractions in money. We use fractions in cooking. So those are all regular everyday things that we use fractions for. So fractions really are fantastic. A little bit of history about fractions. The Latin frangere means to break. And it used to be that fractions were considered only as part of a whole, and they could never be greater than or equal to one even. You could only have fractions that were less than one. So here, if I had a whole piece and I broke it into two equal pieces, I would have a half. Or if I broke it into three pieces, a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenths. Well, in the 1600s, the concept of fractions was expanded and included now a division perspective. So then fractions could be equal to or more than one. So for example, if we look at that concept with one third, if we, here's my whole piece, and if I divide that into three equal pieces, see where fraction is a division perspective, and I color in one piece, that is one third, or one divided by three. Or let's look at an example of where a fraction is greater than or equal to one. I'm going to use two halves, which if you think about it, you're like, okay, well, that's a whole. So I have my one, my two pieces. Okay, so that I have my two. If I take that whole length and then divide it into two equal pieces and color in one, two halves, make a whole. Okay, so we can do fractions as division. So with old fractions, they were always less than one, whereas new fractions, and by new, it's like the 1600s, you know, so it's not really that new, but
Shakespeare.
Yeah, Shakespeare knew. They can be equal to or greater than one. Within the old concept of fractions, you could have one third, you know, two thirds, but you couldn't have three thirds. That was not a fraction. Whereas now we could have one third, three thirds, four thirds, which would be even greater than one. Fractions used to be considered a whole that was fractured, whereas now we think of it in terms of division. Old fractions were considered proper. They were the proper fractions, whereas the new are unfamiliar or improper fractions, such as four-thirds, because that's more than one, an improper fraction. In the old way of thinking, fractions were a limited view, whereas the new fractions support understanding. So that's a little bit of background of where fractions are at right now. And if you think about fraction models, what do you usually think of when fractions are taught? What kind of model would you picture in your brain? Any?
A pie.
A pie, yes.
That's a really common
one. Uh-huh. The fractions are taught as circles, as a pie, okay? So if I'm looking at this and I'm asking you to compare 4/5 and 5/6, Is it clear to you to say which one's bigger? Is that easy to see?
No.
You know, are we are we comparing area? Are we comparing angle? Are we comparing arcs? What are we really comparing here? So here we go. You know, thinking, well, maybe fraction circles aren't the greatest because I don't really know what I'm comparing. But what if we compare the fifths and the sixths here? 4/5 and 5/6. Do we still know which one is bigger than the other?
No.
It's hard to tell, okay? It's not easy to see the answer. All right, well, so let's look at this one. If I have 1/5 of a pie, okay, you're like, okay, well, that's pretty easy. 3/5 of a pie, that's not too bad. 5/5, you're like, okay, that's a whole. 6/5, now we're starting to get out there. 9/5, doesn't really help me. It's starting to get kind of messy. So it's interesting because experts in visual literacy say that comparing quantities in pie charts is difficult because most people think in a line. Okay? So it's easier to compare along a straight line than it is to compare all these random pie slices. And specialists also suggest that refraining from using more than one pie chart for comparison, if for some reason you decided, I really want to use the pie chart, but to use more than one to compare is difficult. So if that's what specialists are saying, then how should we teach fractions? Should we use a pie? Well, we're going to throw out the pie model because we learned we like to think in a line, and instead we are going to use a linear fraction chart, okay? So we're going to practice a little bit with this so you can see if you like it better. So if we're going to look at 1/5, I'm going to color it in green here. 1/5, I can see my 1/5. Here's my 3/5. I can see, well, how much more do I need until I get to a whole? Here's 5/5. Now I have a whole. I can see that really easily in my line. Here's 6/5 right here. So it becomes a lot simpler by teaching fractions in a linear way. So looking at my chart, what we want kids to do is to have two copies. We want them to have a whole chart that's unbroken, and then we want them to have the fraction pieces so that they can feel it with their hands. They can see how does 1/5, 2/5, all that build together. So if we start with a whole, okay, then we would do 2/2, 3/3, 4/4, 5/5, 6/6, 7/7, and you might be thinking sevenths. We never did sevenths in school. We just always skipped sevenths. But if we skip sevenths in our chart, then we're going to lose some of the patterning that we're going to look at in a minute. We have 8/8, 9/9, 10/10. Again, a lot of times in school we skipped our ninths. But look at some of the patterns that we have in here. We can see these beautiful arcs that we have here. And this big arc over here. And all these smaller ones when we keep all of our numbers in. We also have this interesting one. We have a number, a line, a number, a line, a number, a line, a number, a line. So if we pick and choose which fractions we want to show on our chart, we're going to miss some of the patterns that we can see in the fractions. Okay, here is another interesting pattern. Kind of see this arc going across the side. Well, we can take these fraction pieces and build what we call fraction stairs. So instead of starting with the one at the top, we're going to put it at the bottom, and we're going to build one of each piece on top, okay? And we get this cool shape right here, okay? And if we skipped our sevenths and our ninths, we would ruin our shape. So let me bring in the shape here. If any of you have ever seen this, it's a hyperbola, okay? I just see you're like, oh, my mind is blown.
My math brain said,
that's so beautiful. Isn't that so cool? So we need all of our pieces so we can keep our hyperbola. If you don't know what a hyperbola is, that's fine. It's used in higher mathematics, but it's a pretty cool shape. If we center our fraction stairs, then we can have two hyperbolas, one on either side. I mean, you can see the beauty that God has put in these fractions. So again, we want to do fractions with a linear model. Now, maybe you're looking and you're saying, well, it's kind of boring. Can't we make it colorful? You know? Maybe we want to bring some color into it. Okay, well, if I bring color, all of a sudden, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the fractions themselves, or are you looking at all the colors? Okay, so when my kids, before we started homeschooling, and I went in to help with, I think, like fifth grade math, and they had their, they were using a linear chart, but it was all in colors. And what do I remember about helping them with that? The colors. And there are some kids that are really color sensitive, so seeing these colors especially is overwhelming. Or maybe my chart is a different color from your chart, and so is my purple 1/8 the same as your red 1/8? Or if I'm having to compare a half and a sixth, maybe I don't like to have yellow and orange together because I just don't like that. So hopefully you can see that, yes, the color chart, you might be like, oh, but it's so fun. But do we really get a sense of what the fractions are, or is that kind of masked by the color? So here we go. We have our plain fraction chart in as linear. So let's go back to, what if we took out the sevenths? Okay. What if we took out the ninths because we didn't like them? What if we wanted to add in twelfths? Well, if we look at our patterns, do we really see those arcs very well anymore? And what, especially this one, before we had number, line, number, line, number. Now we just have line, line, line. Does that mean there are no odd fractions? You know, we just said, I don't like that number, so I'm just going to take them out. So if you're going to be teaching your kids fractions using the linear chart, make sure that you use all of the pieces. If you want to go to 12ths, that's fine. Make sure you put the 11ths in there. Just make sure you have all the different numbers. Okay? So we've been exploring and learning about fractions and a great model to be able to teach them that we can use. So then how should we practice what we have learned? Well, we are going to use games. Okay? Everybody loves games. Everybody loves games. Well, games are to math what books are to reading. Okay? How, if you think back to how you learned to read, and maybe you don't remember because it's been so long, but did you use a bunch of worksheets? You know, did you use flashcards? No, you learned to read by reading. And you read the same book over and over again, and you know, you had to sound that out, and your parents were probably sleeping in the background while you're reading to them. But the same thing with our kids. In order to learn these concepts, they need something to do that will help to drill those facts. And so games is what is going to do that for them and give them the repetition that they need to gain fluency. So games provide instant feedback and interesting repetition for in order to develop those automatic responses in a social setting. And most importantly, games provide an application for the new information. If the kids have a reason to want to learn their fractions, then they're more likely to say, yeah, I get to play against Dad this game when he comes home from work. Let's do it. I want to learn how to do this so I can beat him in my game. So our first game is going to be Unit Fraction War. And you might be thinking, what is a unit fraction? It's been a little while. A unit fraction is going to be like 1/2, 1/3, 1/4. So anything where 1 is in the top or the numerator of the fraction, and then anything else is in the denominator. So as long as they're just 1 with 1/7. Okay? And the purpose is to practice naming and comparing our unit fractions. And it's to help the children realize that a unit fraction decreases as the denominator increases. Because when we're counting normal numbers, we say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 2. 10 is greater than 2. But the reverse is true with fractions. A half is greater than a tenth. So, and that can be kind of confusing. So if they practice learning about unit fractions, it becomes more intuitive. And the goal is to collect all or most of the cards by comparing our unit fractions. So here's how we play it. We're going to set it up. We have our fraction cards. And then we use our fraction chart here. OK, Okay, so this is my pile of cards. This is your pile of cards. It's a war game. Everybody's probably played war, okay? And so I'm going to have a fourth, and your card that you turned over is 1/5. So we're trying to figure out whose is the larger card. So before we decide, we're going to look at our fraction chart to make that comparison. So I have 1/4 there, colored in the green. Yours is 1/5. Bam, can we see whose is bigger? All right, so I won that hand, yay for me. So I get to collect those and we'll play another round. Now we have an 1/8 and 1/2. Well, let's look at it on the chart. So you have 1/2, which is in blue, and I have 1/8 in the green. Well, obviously, just seeing that right there, yours is bigger. So you get to take that card. Next. Oh, we each have 1/6. So we are all going to yell out, war! Yes! Okay, so put one upside down. You know, you need to have incentive to win the war here. And I end up with 1/3, and you have 1/4. Okay, so again, if we were to look at the chart, I would win this one because 1/3 would be greater than 1/4. Okay? You just keep on playing. You can play for a set amount of time. You can play until somebody gets all the cards. You can say, go play with your sibling. Play right hand versus left hand. You know, find ways to play the game so that your kiddo can understand what unit fractions are. And that way they will learn that it's not just a rule that 3 is bigger than 2, because when they're in fractions, it's not that way. 1/2 is bigger than 1/3, okay? So if we go back to our fraction chart again, now that we know what a fraction is, we can start to work with them, and we can ask ourselves, well, how many 1/4ths are in a whole? Okay, I can count them. You can say 1, 2, 3, 4 1/4ths. 4 1/4ths makes a whole. How many 1/5ths? Well, 5 1/5ths. How many 1/8ths? 8 1/8ths. I can use the fraction chart to see how many pieces make a whole. And it seems like a simple concept, but there are teachers, actual teachers, that don't understand this concept. So really spend some time helping your kids understand how many of each fraction piece makes a whole. And in order to help learn that, we're going to play another game. Our purpose is to help children realize that 5 1/5ths, 8 1/8ths, and so forth make a whole. And we want to find the pairs that make a whole. So if you've ever played concentration or memory match, where you have the two cards that they're trying to flip over, that is the gist of how we play this game. We are going to have a pre-selected set of cards. So if one of these is 1/5, another one will be 4 1/5ths, because we want the cards to match up to make a whole. Okay? Again, we're going to use our fraction chart for reference, okay? And let's say I turn over 3 1/5ths, okay? Before I turn over another card, I want to see, what do I need to go with 3 1/5ths in order to make a whole? If your kids are anything like mine, they would just willy-nilly turn over another card, look at my face, and be like, oh, I know I'm right or I'm wrong. I have to work on my poker face, you know, a little bit better. But in order to make sure that doesn't happen, we're going to go to the fraction chart. And we're going to find 3 1/5ths on our fraction chart. And then right there, we can see, what do we need to go with our 3 1/5ths in order to make a whole? And make sure that our kiddo tells us. So, what do we need to go with our 3 1/5ths to make a whole? 2 1/5ths. Exactly. We need 2 1/5ths. So your kiddo would announce, I'm looking for 2 1/5ths. Okay? And, oh, look. There we go. I picked 2 1/5ths. So I got a pair. So now I get to go again. This time I'm going to pick 3 1/8ths. Again, I want to announce what card it is that I'm looking for. I'm going to use the fraction chart to help me out. 3 1/8ths there. And so now I know I need 5 1/8ths to go with my 3 1/8ths in order to get a match. Okay? So I'm going to pick another card, and 7 1/8ths. I did not get a match. So now it's your turn here. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over, and look, you picked 5 1/8ths. Let's see, what do we need to go with 5/8 to make a whole? Anybody? 3/8, yes. Anybody remember where it is? I know we saw it. It's right there, you see it? Okay. It is, there you go. You got a match there, okay? And it's a game. It makes it fun. The kids enjoy doing it. And me personally, I am horrible at memory match games. So it totally evens the playing field with all my kids. I am not like, I'm older, so I remember where these things are. I probably remember them less. And so it's easy for them to win, but it's fun at the same time. Okay, well, we can also begin to compare fractions, okay? So we might be trying to do with the circle, with the pies, which is more, 3/4 or 4/5. Okay, we're going to use our linear chart so we don't have to panic, okay? We can see 3/4 right here. Then we can see 4/5. And which is more? 4/5. Yeah, that was easy. It's obviously 4/5. Well, let's try another one. Okay, 7/8 or 8/9. Okay, I've got 7/8 right here. And then I have 8/9 right there. Again, we can see that our 8/9 is bigger by just like a hair, basically. It's really close, but we can definitely see that 8/9 is bigger. Well, what if we were to go back to our fraction circles? You know, here we're back again. We're like, oh, what's more, 4/5 or 5/6? So it's just too hard. You know, which model is easier? Well, obviously, it is going to be our fraction chart. And this is going to be your friend. Now, I'm going to do something kind of cool with this chart. We are going to use a partial chart, okay? And we can do this using our fraction pieces. We're going to use our whole, our halves, 2/2, 4/4, and 8/8, okay? Now watch, I'm going to remove the horizontal lines. I'm going to take away all of our green numbers. And what does this remind you of? Anybody? A ruler. It's a ruler. Mm-hmm. So isn't that awesome to see how fractions relate to rulers? And my son, he actually got this concept right away, and it's really helped him be able to read a ruler instead of having to count, you know, oh, I get to 1, and now I need 3/8, 1, 2, 3. He can really easily see things, especially the half, because it's just easy to see. So what are we going to do with this again? We're going to play another game. This time we're going to play Fraction War to practice comparing our halves, fourths, and eighths in preparation for reading a ruler. And I find halves, fourths, and eighths we really use a lot in our cooking. So if you're doubling a recipe, having a recipe to see how these compare is really useful. So our goal is to capture all the cards. And if you're short on time, you can go through the stack once and see whose pile is bigger. You could set a timer. We're going to play for 10 minutes. Something like that. Again, we're going to use our fraction chart here, and we each get a stack of cards, and these will be only cards that the 1, the half, the fourths, and the eighths. Okay, we're each turn over a card. I got 3/8, you got 1/4, and which is more? Well, let's use our chart again. So here's my 3/8, there is your 1/4. So mine's bigger, so I get to take the cards. Well, that was fun, so we'll try another one here. I have 5/8, and you have 3/4. Okay? Well, here we go. Here's our 5/8, and there is your 3/4, and yours is bigger, so you get the cards this time. Again, now we both have 3/4, so we have another war here. Okay? And it's 3/8 versus 1/4. And I can look at my chart and I can say, ah, I love being me because I won those cards. So again, we want the kids to want to play the game and to have fun playing it so that they can learn how they compare their fractions. And true story, I may have played this game in the car with my kids a couple of times. And that way, they had to tell me all the right answers. I'd hold up mine, and I could see it out of the corner of my eye. They would tell me theirs, but then they would say, whose is bigger? You know, another way that you can if you're in the car a lot, you can still find ways to play the games while you're, but they're actually the ones saying which one's bigger and or not every single time that way. You can do advanced fraction war where you can put in all the fraction cards instead of just the limited number. And it's amazing because as we've added in all the different fraction cards, I've seen how my kids can see really which one is bigger than the others. It's easy for them to be like, oh yes, that mine's bigger than yours. And I just have to pause for a few seconds while I'm thinking of whose card is bigger, and they know the answer at the same time and are able to, so it's been able to sink into their brains as they've used the fraction chart and played the games. There is an app, aptly named Fraction War, that you can get. It has different levels. The beginner has the halves, fourths, eighths. The easy adds in the thirds and the sixths. The medium adds in the fifths and the tenths. And the hard adds in percents. So here's a simple way that you could be like, here, kiddo, you play the game, because then they're playing against the computer and you don't have to play with them, but they still get the practice in. Okay, we can also use our chart to look at equivalent fractions. And by equivalent, we mean ones that are equal or the same amount. Okay, so how many fourths are going to equal a half? Well, we're going to use our chart. Here's our half. Okay, there's our fourths. See how they match up on that line right there? And we can see that 2/4 equal a half. Well, how many eighths are in a half? Well, here's my half again. Here are my eighths. I can see that 4/8 are equal a half. What about sevenths? Now you're probably thinking, I don't know, sevenths. Does sevenths really work here? Well, let's look at the chart. Here's our half. Here is how many sevenths would be in a half. And we say 3 1/2 sevenths. But using our chart, we can see that 3 1/2 sevenths would be the same as a half, right? Because the chart helps make it really simple. So what about fractions greater than one? Okay, well, again, here's our chart. And we can use some extra pieces to see, oh, look, I have a fraction greater than 1, 9/8 right there, okay? Makes it easy to see how it works, which brings us back to our proper and improper fractions. Okay, here is our 9/8. Here's what 9/8 looks like as we write it out. And what would this be?
Five-thirds.
Yes. It would be 5/3. I know, it's towards the end of the day. Everybody's like, okay. Okay, so it would be 5/3. Okay, we're going to look at one more here. What would this fraction be? 3/4. Yeah. Okay. So looking at these, which of these fractions are proper fractions or less than one? The last one, the 3/4. Okay, remember proper is the old way, the less than one. So 3/4 would be a proper fraction. So then which of these fractions are improper? The first two, the 9/8 and the 5/3. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's rewrite our improper fractions using a whole number. First, we are going to look at our 9/8. Okay. If we look at our 9/8, I can see that it is 1 whole and 1 1/8 using my chart here. Okay. So it is 1 1/8. Now with this, I'm not going through the algorithm and saying, oh, 8/8 is a whole. So let's take 9/8 minus 8/8 and see that we have 1/8 left. So we have 1 1/8. Instead, the kids just kind of learn that it's an organic process because they've used the chart, they've seen it. They know, oh, well, 8/8 makes a whole, of course, and I have more than that. I have 1 more than that. So they just learn that without really having to have me say, okay, well, how many 8s are in a whole? Let's subtract that and then see how many we have left. It's just kind of an organic process. So if we look again at our 5/3, Okay, if we're going to write that as a proper fraction, what would we get here? Okay, yeah, again, we can see I have a whole and two more thirds. Okay, so that's 1 2/3. Okay, so pretty simple there. So now we've rewritten them all as proper fractions. And let's look at doing some addition with fractions. Okay, let's look at adding 4/5 and 3/5. Okay, first I can put my 4/5 on my fraction chart. Then I can put 3 more 5ths right there, okay? Which altogether I can see that I have 7/5, okay? Which would be rewritten as a whole number with a fraction, okay? Which would be 1 1/2. So see how easy it is to do the adding using our fraction chart. So let's try another one. We're going to do 5/8 and 7/8. So if we put 5/8 on there, then another 7/8, okay? In total, we can see that we have 12/8, right?
So yeah. Earlier you were talking about like having two of these, one of them as a whole sheet, and mm-hmm. another one you actually cut up into pieces. Mm-hmm. Is that where you would kind of use this if you were doing this with your child, you know, sitting at the table? Would you, like, so you would have your whole sheet there, and then mm-hmm. you start bringing the other pieces in there to add them together?
Yeah, when you're going to do anything greater than one. Mm-hmm. You also use the pieces and have them build the chart so they can feel how the chart all comes together. That would be another way to use the pieces.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have 12/8 here, which if we want to see a whole with our fraction would be 1 4/8, which is also the same as a half, but you know, early on, it's easier to just be able to say 1 4/8. Okay, so we want to help our kids discover these algorithms. We're going to be guiding them along and helping them discover how it is. Because what you've been obliged to discover by yourself leaves a path in your mind which you can use again when the need arises. Okay, so let's now go and simplify some fractions. Okay. Well, if I have 5/10, okay, it's the same thing as a half. It's a simpler way of saying it, right? Just simple. If I have 4/8, what's a simpler way of saying 4/8? Again, it's going to be a half, okay? If I have 3/6, our simpler way of saying it is a half. And 2/4, the simpler way of saying it is, again, a half. So we have all of these fractions that are the same as a half. So now I'm going to show you something that is really pretty cool that I didn't learn until my daughter showed it to me when she was in sixth grade, and might, you know, blow your mind a little bit. So just watch out here for a second. So here we have a multiplication chart, just your basic multiplication chart. Okay. I can, let's say I have 9 times 5. I see where they cross, gets me 45. Or 6 times 3, I can see they come together to make 18. So just your basic multiplication chart, okay? But this is where it gets kind of cool. Here I have 5/10. In our chart, we realize that that's the same as a half, okay? Just like 4/8 is the same as a half, and 3/6 is the same as a half, and 2/4 is the same as a half. So what we knew with the fraction chart, we can do with the multiplication chart. And when we do this, the rule is that our numerator and our denominator, so our top number and our bottom number, they need to be in the same column, okay? They need to be in the same column. They don't have to touch. They could be up here and here, but they need to be in the same column, okay? So we're going to practice a couple of them to help out. Let's say my fraction was 21 28. Now I could think, okay, they're both. What goes into 21 and what goes into 28? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But let's find 21 and 28 in the same column. Does anybody see it?
Yeah, 3/4.
Okay, so you guys have just totally jumped ahead. 21 and 28, there they are in the same column. We'll highlight them here. We're going to move them off to the left. And like you said, we get 3/4. Super fun, right? Super fun. Super fun.
No, that's what I was thinking too. I'm staring at that. How many times have I seen this chart? How many times have I gone over this chart just with my kids?
Uh-huh.
Not even considering, you know, growing up when I was learning it. And it's, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we're going to do another one here. 45, 70 seconds. Can you see them in the same column somewhere? Okay, remember they don't have to touch, but they need to be in the same column.
Nine.
You see me in the nines? Uh-huh, 45, 70 seconds right there. Okay. So there we go, 45, 70 seconds. I'm going to take it all the way to the left. And 5/8. This is what some of you guys said, that you found them in the column, and you're like, I'm going left. I'm going to do it. So, you know, why does this work? You're like, well, my mind is blown. Why does this work? Well, remember, they have to be in the same column, okay? So, for example, 45 and 72 are both in the nines column, you know? They are both products of 9 times something, okay? And so if I were to, in my mind, say if I divide both of them by 9, we know that 9/9 is 1. And anything divided by 1 is still its same number, right? So that's why we divide them both by 9, and we can get ourselves 5/8. Okay? So we're going to practice one more. 12/16. Now, you might find some of these in more than one place on the chart. Let's say that I have found it right here in the twos column, 12/16, okay? I'm going to go, here, highlight there, go to the left, okay? And I get 6/8. But, you know, you're probably saying, well, I don't know, that doesn't seem all the way simplified, okay? Sometimes that happens. That's just fine. I'm going to zigzag up the chart. I can see 6/8 here, okay? So now I'm going to do 6/8, go to the left, and I can see that it's 3/4. Okay? Doesn't matter if we found it there, just totally fine. But look here, I could have also started here with 12/16 and gone straight to the 3/4. Works either way. You know, I didn't find it in the simplest way, but works either way. Life moves on. We're good. We found our simplest. So remember, we want to let our child discover the algorithm. Let's say that you had an apple pie recipe from your mother-in-law. And you may or may not like your mother-in-law. That's totally between you and her. But let's say you're baking it one day, and all of us, I put in too much of that secret spice. But you just go ahead and bake the pie anyway, and then you taste it, and you're like, oh, this is better than my mother-in-law's apple pie. You know, it's just over the top. Well, which was better? Your mother-in-law saying, let's put in the extra little bit of secret spice, or you discovering that for yourself? I mean, it's the same way with the kids. When they can discover and make those discoveries for themselves, you know, it's such a big achievement, and they feel good, and it helps them to remember those things better. So let's look at adding fractions again, okay? What if we said, what is 1/4 plus 1/8? When we did it before, it was easy because they were both on the same line. Now we have different denominators, okay? So let's start with our 1/4, okay? We're going to find it on the chart there. There is our 1/4, okay? 1/8, here it is in a different space. So how am I going to get them on the same line? We need to have common denominators. Now, there's obviously an algorithm for how to do that, but we can also ask ourselves, you know, I'm going to slide the 1/8 over so that I can fit the 1/4 in that space. You see that? So then I'm going to pull my 1/4 down. So 1/4 plus 1/8 would be 3/8. Okay?
So much easier. You have to times 4 by to make it equal to 8, and then times the top one, and then plus all the...
Mm-hmm. And they will get there. I promise they will get there. They're not going to be dependent on the fraction chart forever. But in the beginning, to use the fraction chart to see why 1/4 is the same as 2/8 is huge in them then understanding how to do it using the algorithm. Okay? So what if we had 1/2 plus 1/3? obviously, we need to get them on the same line because they don't have the same denominator, okay? So I have a half, and I have a third. We're going to start by working with our half, okay? So another way of saying a half that we discovered before is 2/4, okay? Well, is that really going to be useful with our thirds? Probably not. So let's try another one, okay? A half is the same as 3/6. I'll work with our thirds, okay? So I'm going to remember that a half is the same as 3/6. And now we're going to look at our thirds here, okay? A third would be the same as 2/6, okay? So our third is 2/6, and we remember our half was 3/6, okay? So we're going to take our 2/6 plus our 3/6, and there we go. We gave them common denominators, and we can see that our answer is 5/6. You know, we can see that.
I got it.
And that's why we need to have a common denominator so that they can be on the same line, and then we can add them. All right, we're going to skip forward to multiplying fractions. Okay, multiplying fractions. Well, we're going to use our chart again. And what is half of a half? Okay. Yes, a fourth. Okay. You kind of just knew that, right? But we're going to show why a half is a fourth of a fourth. I mean, a fourth is half of a half. Yes, you went down and you're like, what's a half? That's exactly what we're going to do. Okay. Here's my half. What is half of that? Well, it's a fourth. Okay. That's multiplying fractions. That's multiplying fractions. Super easy. So let's do another one. Okay. What is a third of a half? Okay. We're going to put our half on the chart here.
2/6.
And remember, we want 1/3 of it. Okay. Which would be 1/6. Okay.
I did the other thing. I did 2.
Which would be 1/6. Okay. You just multiplied fractions. Nobody died. Nobody cried even. So it's really, it's not that hard. So that's how simple it is to multiply fractions. But it's not all, we're not always going to just pull our fraction chart out of our pocket when we're at the grocery store or something like that.
I might.
You might. You might. So there's another way that we can do multiplying fractions here. Usually when we think about multiplication, we think it's repeated addition, don't we? So we think that. Well, I'm going to say it's not exclusively repeated addition. If we think of 4 times 4, yes, we can say 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4. But what if I'm doing a half times a half? Okay, a half of a half. We just learned that it was a fourth, right? It's not a half plus, you know, you're like, okay. So actually using area to model fraction multiplication is a better model. Okay, so we're going to look at area here. So if we were doing 4 times 4 and you're thinking an area model, we're going to do 4 squares across the top, 4 squares in the column, and fill it in so that it makes a square, right? The 4 by 4 square. Okay, so let's use the area model for fraction multiplication here. Okay, so what I'm asking is, what is 1/2 of 1/2? Okay, we already know the answer is a fourth. We can see it on our fraction chart here. We already figured that out. So with that in mind, we're going to do our area model with this. So we're going to take our square or rectangle. In this case, it is a square. And typically, it's easiest if we start with this second fraction, okay? And so what is 1/2? Because it's what is 1/2 of 1/2. So I'm going to take my square. I'm going to divide it into two pieces, because remember we learned that fractions are division. I divide it into two pieces, and I cross and I hatch half. Okay? Good so far? Okay. So I have half here, and I've divided it vertically. Now for the other half, the of 1/2, I'm going to divide mine horizontally. Okay? So here I've divided it horizontally, and I've colored in blue half. Okay? Can you see that I've colored this in blue? Sometimes it's hard to see between the stripes of the red, but this one is blue behind there. Okay? So in looking at this, what do I have that is both hatched with the red stripes, and colored in blue?
One.
One square out of how many?
Four.
Out of four. One fourth. That's what we said one half of one half was one fourth. Okay? So the area model helps us to really see that. There's our one fourth. Okay? So let's do another one here. We're going to do two thirds times three fourths. We're going to just step it up a notch just a little bit. Okay? Because we're not just splitting it in half and half. So I'm going to have my rectangle, and I'm going to start with my three-fourths here. I'm going to divide my rectangle vertically into four pieces, and I'm going to hatch three of them, okay? Because that's my three-fourths. Now we're going to move to our two-thirds, okay? Now I'm going to divide horizontally into three pieces and color in two of them, okay? My two-thirds, okay? So what do I have that is both hatched and colored this time?
Six.
Six out of a total of?
12.
Uh-huh. Six out of a total of 12. So 6/12, right? Okay. So here's my 6/12. So now let's go look at the algorithm for this procedure and see why the algorithm is written the way that it is. Okay. So if we look at this, the total number of rectangles is 3 times 4, right? That's my total number of rectangles. And where do we see that in our problem? We see that right there in the denominator, my 3 times my 4, okay? Then, what is the number of colored and hatched rectangles? Well, I have 2 times 3, right? Which I can see in the top, which makes 6. So that is why the algorithm of being able to multiply the numerator times the numerator and the denominator times the denominator works. That's visually how you can see why it works. And because of this array. So, any questions so far? We're good? Okay. So what about dividing fractions? Okay. Well, what is division? 6 divided by 2. How many 2s are in 6 is what we're really asking ourselves. Okay, so I have 6 chips up here. Put them in groups of 2. And how many groups of 2 do I have? Well, I have 3. Yeah, so my answer is 3. Okay, so I'm looking at asking how many 2s are in 6. That's essentially what I'm asking when I'm doing the division. So let's apply this to dividing our fractions. Of course, we're going to start with our fraction chart here. I have my ones, halves, thirds, fourths. So if I said 1 divided by 1 half, first, what am I asking? I'm asking how many halves are in 1. That's what I'm asking, okay? So here I go. Here's my half. I'm going to pull it up to the top here, and I'm going to see how many of those fit across my whole. Oh, 2. 2 of them fit. Okay, so how many halves are in 1? 2. That's easy. Okay, let's try it with a third. If I say, what is 1 divided by 1 third? What am I asking? How many thirds are in a whole? Yeah. Okay, so here's my third. We'll pull it up to the top again, and we'll see how many of these fit in a whole. Well, 3. So my answer is 3. Okay, think I've got this. Well, what is 1 divided by a fourth? Okay, it is going to be 4. You know, we could go through the process again, but you're starting to see the pattern. Okay, what about 1 divided by a fifth? How many fifths are in 1?
5.
Yes. 1 divided by a sixth?
6.
6, yes, speed round. 1 divided by 2 thirds? Oh, wait a minute. I have changed the pattern. Okay, so let's go back to our chart real quick, okay? 1 divided by 2 thirds, okay? Remember, what am I asking? I'm asking how many 2 thirds are in 1? Yes, I'm asking how many 2 thirds are in 1. So here I have 2 thirds. We're going to pull it up to the top again, okay? I at least have 1. But I don't have two. Looks like maybe it's about a half.
Yep.
So one and a half. Okay. So I have one and a half. Okay. Yes. Half of my two-thirds. One and a half. Mm-hmm. Another way I could say my answer would be three halves. One, two, three halves. Okay. Just kind of keep that in your brain right there. Okay. Three halves. So, 1 divided by 2 thirds is 3 halves. Let's do another one so we can get that cemented in there. 1 divided by 3 fourths. We are asking how many 3 fourths are in 1. Okay, we're going to go to our chart again. We're going to pull that to the top. Okay, I know I have at least one of them. Let's see if I can fit another one. I can't. But it looks like it'll be about 1 and a third. Yep, it's going to be 1 and a third. Or I can say that 4 thirds. Okay, got it? Pretty cool there. So, look at what we're doing. Can you see the pattern? Can you see the pattern? Does it kind of look like we've gone like this with our fraction? Uh-huh. All right. So, 1 divided by 2 fifths would be? 5 halves. Uh-huh. What about 1 divided by 5 eighths? 8 fifths. Yes. Okay, what about 1 divided by 4 sevenths? 7 fourths. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Okay, so we want to guide our kids to make this discovery. Have them be like, oh, wow, you know, and that the answers are the inverted form of the divisor. Okay?
Instead of the stupid formula I had.
They will get to that, but it'll make sense as to why.
Yeah,
I mean, you were just like, you were taught this is how you do it, and you didn't understand the why.
Yeah,
you know?
Why.
Yeah. I know. So how? How are we going to practice again? Game. We're going to practice the game to practice dividing our fractions. Okay. And the purpose in our fraction division war is to help them realize the quotient is the inverted form of the divisor. Okay? The quotient, which is the answer, is the inverted form of the divisor, or the flipped over. Okay? We're going to collect all or most of the cards. We're sort of running short on time, so we're going to speed through this speed round. Okay? Fraction division war. We're going to lay out two holes right there. So when I play a card, I'm asking how many halves are in one. Okay? So mine, I got two. How many fourths are in one? You guys get?
Four.
Okay. So yours is bigger. You win that round. Now, I got 3/8. How many 3/8 are in one? Well, 8/3, right? How many 2/3 are in one? Well, you get 3/2. So which is more? Well, if we think of our fraction chart, if you picture it in your mind, mine is all made up of thirds, right? So I have 3/3. Then I have another 3/3. So I have at least two wholes and a little bit more. Yours is 3/2, so I have 2/2 and only one more. So mine's bigger because I have at least two wholes plus more, okay? So I get to win that one. 7/8 and 1/6. So it's a game. The kids learn. They have fun. Somebody wins. Or if you're like playing with my son, he always wins somehow. I won't tell you how, but somehow he always wins. So let's take this one step further. 1 divided by 1/4. We already know, we learned that was going to be 4. Yes, how many fourths were in 1? Okay. What if we said 2 divided by 1/4? How many fourths are in 2? 8. Okay. Did you have to use a fancy algorithm to do that? You just knew. You knew that that's what it was. Well, if you think, well, it's twice as many because I'm not dividing 1 anymore. I'm dividing 2, which is twice as many. So, of course, I'm going to have 8. Okay? Well, let's say we want to figure out why that's true. Okay? I can say 2 times 1 divided by 1/4. See, I'm doubling the 1 divided by 1/4. You see that? And we know that 1 divided by 1/4 was going to be 4. So really what we're saying is 2 times 4 is 8. Okay? I know, that's like, whoa. And that's exactly what you said. But then we're showing it, the real math behind it, all in one step here. And you just didn't really need this middle step because you knew that it was twice as much as 1 divided by 1/4. Okay? What if we say 3 divided by 1/4? Any guesses? 12, yes. It's triple, okay? But we're going to show the math right here behind it, okay? The steps that we're really taking. So we're saying 3 times 1 divided by 1/4, which is really the same as 3 times 4, which equals 12, okay? So now, I know, they cancel each other out and all that stuff. What if we wanted to say what is 1/2 divided by 1/4? It's half as many as the first one, isn't it? So we're going to get an answer of 2, okay? Again, what are the steps? What do we have here? We have 1/2 times 1 divided by 1/4, okay, which we know would be 1/2 times 4. So numerator times the 4, which will give me 4/2, which is the same as 2, okay? So what about 1/3 divided by 1/4? Okay, if we put it in the way we've been writing out the rest of them, we're saying 1/3 times 1 divided by 1/4, which this helps us see why we invert and multiply. Okay? This can help the kids see, okay, well, what am I really doing? Because it's hard to be like, how do I divide where a fraction is already dividing? It's like I'm double dividing in a way. So this helps you see, okay, well, this means I need to keep my first fraction and I'm going to invert and multiply because it's the same thing, right? Because I can change that 1 divided by 1/4 into 4, which means 1/3 times 4, which is 4/3. Okay? So what about 3/4 divided by 1/4? Okay? Switch that second one. What are we going to be getting? This is the actual math behind it. But I'm just thinking in my head, what's 3 times 4 is 12, and 4 times 1 is 4. Okay? So my answer is going to be 12/4. Or 3. How are we going to practice? Again, we're going to practice with a game. Okay? War, again, just regular war. Okay? So wrapping things up here, we love our fraction chart. You love the fraction chart now? Think it's way better than using pie charts. Okay? And with our fraction chart, we want to allow our kids to explore the whole picture and the relationships within the whole using the linear perspective. Okay? So in conclusion, math needs to be taught so that 95% of it is understood and only 5% memorized. That is not the way we normally think about it. We think we need to memorize all the facts. But it's the understanding will make it so that if they don't have the facts memorized, they understand how they can get them. Okay? The kids need to understand why it all works. And Dr. Cotter has said, our goal as a teacher of mathematics is to help our children transform, expand, and refine these beginning ideas into deeper mathematical thinking. So again here, if you want the slides, you can scan the QR code there. And you can also find them at rightstartmath.com/fractions-fantastic/. Busy scanning. My mind is blown. Maybe I like fractions.
Decades ago.
I know.
When I was in sixth grade.
I was probably
also in sixth grade.
Maybe.
I'm probably
also in sixth grade.
A little older. Okay. My oldest is in college.